On this week's Radio Today programme, lots of big news to talk about, and we'll delve deeper into what could be one of the big changes to our digital radio landscape in the UK, small-scale DAB. We'll talk to John Evington from the Niocast trial multiplex that's been running in Manchester. James Cridlin is here to look at how you can better connect with your listeners and get them on the air from their smartphone. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, Fluff welcomes us to newfangled DAB technology. Chris Moyles announces his departure from Radio on Breakfast, and Hereward Radio launches in Peterborough. Radio
Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio. Radio Today.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here as well. And it's been a fairly busy week in radio, Mr. Roy.
It has, Mr. Stu. Are you well?
I thought you were.
Fantastic. That's got to be our default greeting from now on, hasn't it?
Thanks, Greg. Yes. So we've got lots and lots to talk about. As we say, it has been quite a busy week. We've got Bauer. We've got the campaign to save local radio. Ken Bruce, you're going to hear from him as well, with some thoughts from another podcast about Amanda Holden being on Heart, and all about the massive expansion of SSDAB as well. That's all coming up.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Hassel.
Right, let's start with Bauer then, shall we? Lots of Bauer news this week. Not least the approval from Ofcom that they can cut their local hours to 3 instead of 7. But they're not necessarily going to do that. They've just got permission to.
This is the thing. Global went down this route late last year, and early this year they got permission in February, I think it was. So they can now have 3 hours, like you say, of just local programming in enlarged regions. I don't think they're going to do it. And they've got so much other stuff going on at the moment, so I don't think there's anything imminent.
Really?
Well, ish. When I say imminent, I mean this, you know, today.
Not today. Okay.
Maybe a couple of weeks. I don't know.
I mean, they've got to wait before they do anything with the new stations they bought earlier this year, of course. They've got to wait for the CMA to make a decision. But we got a hint of that this week. We're expecting an announcement in the next couple of weeks. But DCMS have been asked their opinions and whether they think there's a public interest consideration to launch an investigation. And the government says, no, looks fine to us.
Carry on. So is that a good indication that the DCMS will say the CMA will say the same as the DCMS?
Well, they're all bits of the government, aren't they? The CMA is a bit of the government, but the CMA are presumably looking at the advertising market and competition for advertisers in those markets where Bauer have bought these other stations. So that's perhaps the sticking point, if there is going to be.
So there may be a couple of issues in places where they will own everything and there's no competition. So, and there's a few areas like that around the UK. So I think at worst, and I put this in the ramble on eRadio, they will just have to sell a few stations and then carry on like Global did with Communicore many years ago. So it's hard to guess which stations will be sold, but I think that's where we'll end up.
Okay. Well, I mean, you said you don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but we've seen a bit of creep towards the HITS network, certainly in name, this week. So the free radio breakfast shows have changed, reduced in number from 4 to, I think, just 2 now across the Midlands on free radio. And they've HITS at breakfast strapline. And GEM in the East Midlands is now taking some network programmes from the HITS network as well. And weekends all over the HITS network are being networked without any local programs.
curiouser and curiouser.
So it's not all happening like a big splash like Global have done, but it's kind of creeping on, isn't it?
Yeah, I think creep is the word for Bauer, isn't it? They do things slowly, and by the time they've actually completed the project, they change their mind and do something else. but it's happening slowly, and I think that will happen. I think the name changes will be the big thing that they're working towards. I don't know this, I'm just guessing. And the networking, maybe not so much. I think they'll keep breakfasts at least regional. So maybe at worst they will network, say, the Northwest. So Rock and HITS may share. And Radio City obviously will get a free ticket and just do their own thing anyway. And then the stations in Yorkshire that are eventually the HITS radio, including some of the new ones, they may get a Yorkshire breakfast show. I don't think they'll go national with breakfast. I think, if anything, they'll network a drive show or enlarged regional drive show. that's just my opinion. I don't think they'll do a full global. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think they know. I think this is the problem.
That's the problem, yeah.
And they've got a new breakfast show starting this week, of course, on Hits Radio Manchester. Is it called Hits Radio Manchester? Is it allowed to be called Hits Radio Manchester? Or do Radio Manchester have a problem with that? We'll find out anyway.
They must be loving it, because if a presenter just says, Hits Radio Manchester, and the guy up on 95.1 says, it's Radio Manchester, then they're both identifying as the same thing. So,
yeah. It's a bit. So, Hits 103, let's call it, plus the bits of DAB around the country. Got a new breakfast show starting later this week with Fleur, Greg, and James. And all being well, I'm going to see them on Friday. So, we should hear from them on next week's podcast. Yes. I will have a competition with Fleur to see who has the best hair.
Well, I think she's already won.
I hear a rumour Pat Sharp's in the building in Castle Quay this week as well, so he might have a claim on best hair in the building on Friday morning. But
he doesn't look like that anymore. He's not got it anymore. That was the 80s.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's all interesting stuff, and we wait to see what's going to happen with the CMA decision, and obviously wait to see what Bauer are going to do with their existing stations.
I noticed, just before we move on, that the imaging has changed. So, you know, the old dum-da-dum-da-dum, which was on for the last few years.
Like it, but yeah, okay.
I know. That's gone, and all the stations now have a four-note logo, which is, surprise, surprise, the Hits Radio logo. So it's good for the future, but, you know, when he says Radio City, dun, 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 it doesn't really fit. Radio City, if you see what I mean, from an imaging point of view. So there's obviously change coming.
Interesting. And they've changed the strapline again, I think, haven't they? Biggest hits and the best throwbacks or something.
Something about throwbacks. And even Gem are taking the new logo, which kind of makes sense for them because it's a four-note Gem radio.
Yep.
But all the others are just way out. And Gem are now using the biggest throwbacks as well. So, yeah, and it's the first time that Gem has shared programmes with their counterparts in the West Midlands, because they've always been separate, apart from a couple of one-offs. Uh-huh. So this is an historic moment for Gem. Not a good historic moment, because they're losing some of their own output. But yeah, it's obviously planting seeds for something coming soon.
There was a bit of throwback going on right outside my window, actually, the other day.
Oh, dear. Why?
Well, I live on the canal, so there were fishermen.
Throwing back some fish?
Yeah, they catch them, then they throw them back.
I don't like that word. Don't know why they're using that word.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. So the heart format changes got some complaints to Ofcom, and Ofcom said, nah, not even going to bother.
So that's going to be... I don't know what that is. Someone in the Northwest, someone in Essex, someone in Sussex and London saying, wait a minute, Heart is not operating within its format. Just a couple of weeks after Jamie and Amanda come on. So it's clearly either industry people moaning about it, or it's listeners saying, wait a minute, this should be local. I'm going to make a complaint. But whatever it is, Ofcom said, nah, bollocks. Doesn't matter.
I'm fairly sure that's not what they said, but the sentiment was there. I'm sure the sentiment was there.
I have a microphone planted in their boardroom. They said bollocks. It was official.
So the campaign to save local radio, it might be loosely linked to that those format complaints, whatever the campaign to save local radio is these days, we're not entirely sure still what it is they're trying to save. Well, we kind of get an idea. It reached the House of Commons. MPs were asking questions to the Digital Minister, Margot James, this week.
The regulatory framework for commercial radio on FM and AM, set nearly 30 years ago, has not kept pace with market changes, and we have taken steps to address this. So I welcome Ofcom's October 2018 changes to the localness guidance, and this will reduce the burdens on commercial radio whilst maintaining requirements for local stations to provide local news and other content.
Isn't that media giant Global, despite making massive profits, has cut no less than 11 local radio studios in England? Isn't there a danger that under these weaker Ofcom regulations, commercial local radio will increasingly lose its localness and broadcasts will increasingly be made from London or several regional centres?
I understand the Honourable Gentleman's concern, but for a start, the localness guidelines are strict, they are tough, And it will require large corporate radio corporations, commercial radio corporations, to have local studios. They will have to provide quite a serious amount of local news content, weather, driving, etc. So I don't share his concern, and it is up to Ofcom to police this, and I think they're doing a good job. And we must remember that for radio, local, commercial, and indeed community radio, to be sustainable, they did need a lighter touch regulatory regime.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And could I briefly beg your indulgence since it's DCMS questions, to congratulate St. Fagans Museum from Cardiff West constituents on winning the Museum of the Year last night in the ceremony at the Science Museum. But on the issue of commercial radio, her honourable friend earlier on said we need more local radio. The result of this deregulation is there are job cuts and fewer stations in what is a profitable commercial sector. Isn't it time that this decision is reviewed to see the impact it's having on localness, to make sure that local radio doesn't just become national commercial radio?
The localness guidelines only came in October last year, so I think it would be premature to announce a review of their impact just as yet. And I would like to reassure the honourable gentleman that the new guidelines were welcomed by commercial radio, by the community radio stations as well. And Ofcom have had, I think it's about 700 expressions of interest in the small-scale DAB multiplexes, which we introduced legislation to enable last month. And we hope to be able to complete that legislation by the end of the year so that Ofcom will be able to start issuing licences to hundreds of community radio stations up and down the country. And I think we will see a great growth in this fantastic sector.
I think she was stumbling a little bit there in her answers, but she got there in the end. Interesting to note, Margot James mentioning small-scale DAB. You've got more on that coming up on the podcast. I have asked John Grogan, the MP who asked a question there, and the guy behind the early day motion, to come on the Radio Today programme. I spoke to his office. They said he would call me back, and I'm still waiting for that call. So we did try. And of course, our offer to Nick and the local radio groups, come on the podcast, tell us about their campaign, what they want to happen, is still there. You know how to get in touch with us if you do want to come on.
He's getting a lot of stick, isn't he, Nick? I noticed some of the replies. I mean, he tweets every day something, and some of the replies are not favourable. And, you know, if I was him, I'd just delete the account. It's obviously a stressful thing, and he's probably wishing he'd never set it up. So, yeah, we'll see. And the thing that gets me is part of this campaign and part of what was mentioned there in Parliament is that they're up in arms about the deregulation to commercial radio, yet in the next breath they say, so we should deregulate community radio.
Yeah.
What do they think will happen when community radio gets deregulated? Exactly the same thing. So, I don't know. It just doesn't make much sense to me. Just let people, it's a commercial business, let people get on with it, is what I say.
Yeah. And as we're going to hear later on in the podcast as well, we're going to be talking about this big small-scale DAB expansion that Ofcom have put out a consultation on this week. I think if we get another 5 or 6 years into the future, when we've got 50 or 60 stations in every town to pick from on our DAB radios, many of them offering local content, we're going to look back at 2019 and go, what was all that fuss about? Because there's a nice mix of national and regional and local. It's just going to take us a little while to get there.
Plus, in 5 years, we don't know who will be on the DAB. We don't know if we're going to be sticking at 50% or whether it's going to go down or whether it's going to go up. Where's it going to be in 5 years' time? Nobody knows, but there'll certainly be lots of choice whether any of the new stations will be commercially survivable. Who knows? It's all up in the air at the moment.
Some other stuff around this week, and Francis Curry is going back to being a consultant instead of being Group Content Director of Music Radio at Wireless, which has seemed a bit odd for the last few months after Wireless sold all its music stations in England. So he's been looking after stuff in Ireland and Virgin, but he's going to carry on consulting for them. So it's been a successful couple of years, I think, launching Virgin Radio with them.
Yeah, he's done good, and he's getting them as the first client. So technically, he'll still be there, but yeah, good luck to Francis, and hopefully he'll be carrying on travelling around the world consulting like he did before he joined Virgin.
Get the air miles up. Some more congratulations are in order. We have new people to control pop music and to control all sounds, as well as Radio 4. BBC have announced some new management positions. Lorna Clark goes from being head of production for Radio 2 and 6 Music to being controller of pop.
Could she organize a Diet Coke for me? Because I'm quite thirsty.
Not that kind of pop. Not that kind of pop.
All right.
Okay. And crisps, pop and crisps. Mohit Bakaya from Radio 4 was commissioned editor, is now going to be the controller. And Five Lives controller Jonathan Wall, Jono, is going to be in charge of all sounds. Well, BBC sounds, at least.
That's a tough gig, isn't it? To leave Five Live, the giant that is Five Live, to something like BBC Sounds, which, you know, not a lot of people are a fan of. He's got a big task ahead of him, so good luck, Jono.
Yeah, it's the direction everything's going in, though. It's all about BBC Sounds, getting a lot of resource put into it, so it's an exciting place to be.
Wish him the best of luck. And also congratulations to the BBC's media editor for his big scoop this week. Did you see this?
Oh, Amal Rajan. Yeah, what did he scoop?
The three appointments that you just mentioned there for the controller positions.
Okay.
He got the scoop on Twitter. He tweeted this breaking news literally about 3 minutes after thousands of people at the BBC got a staff email about it. So
including him, presumably.
So the amount of effort that went into that scoop, that is just amazing. Congratulations, sir.
Well, a few other bits of moves news as well. Kirsty Young has announced she's stepping down as the permanent host of Desert Island Discs. And I presume Lauren Laverne's just got the gig. I don't think they formally announced that, but she's obviously been looking after it for a while. Richard Park, we knew he'd obviously stepped down from day-to-day duties at Global, and it was formalised this week with an announcement from Companies House that he's no longer a director of the company. So it kind of makes it all official. Sad times.
Yeah, apologies for if you got e-radio this morning, apparently the link doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
But if you go on Companies House and search for Global Radio London Limited or something like that, the main global one, Richard Park's letter of termination is on there. He has been terminated.
He's been given a red card. Red card, Parky. excellent. Something to mention as well that you might have seen on Radio Today a week or so back. Steve Penk wants to hear from you with your radio fails. He's going to make a podcast of radio nightmares, and he wants you to do the work by sending him clips of things going wrong on the radio.
Cool.
I'm going to enjoy listening to that, I think.
There was something good that Trevor did last week. Did you hear this? It was his device schedule, I think it was.
Device schedule. Oh, yeah.
For listening to
No,
we're not going to do it. But there's something else he does, and that's what have you been listening to recently? And I just was wondering, Stuart, because you've got it on your notes here, you're about to tell us what you've been listening to. What have you been listening to recently, Stuart?
I wanted to just tell you about a couple of podcasts I've been listening to, and they are radio geek related as well, so we think you will enjoy them. First up, the excellent Media Masters with Paul Blanchard. He's had some really good guests on there. I think he's recording one this week with Dave Berry from Absolute as well. But he's had some really, really good guests on, and Ken Bruce was on last week, and Ken said some interesting stuff about celebrities doing radio.
I think now people look at it all as a much bigger business where you can move from one part of the media to another, and we're seeing that in radio. Amanda Holden has just been started on a breakfast show in commercial radio with no radio experience whatsoever, and it's a gamble. But Paul Chantler, who's a great man of radio, said, with intensive training, she'll be great. And part of me thinks, shouldn't you be doing the intensive training before you get the job? But the other part says, the people like that bring in a ready-made audience. They bring in their own fan club, as it were. They bring in people who are interested in them. So you can add that to your existing audience. And if there's chemistry there, then the doublehead with Jamie will work. So, people come in from all sorts of areas. They always have in radio. I mean, Jimmy Young, who was on Radio 2 for, 30-odd years, was a singer. So he was tried out on radio, and it worked. So you try out people. And if they work, they work. If they don't, you don't need to use them again.
So, Amanda Holden, Fleur East, it's nothing new. Jimmy Young was a famous pop star before he even got on the radio. What are we worrying about?
Exactly. And he makes some good points. I think they're already sounding good together, Jamie and Amanda. And I don't think intense training is necessary, really, because you're just speaking your mind, aren't you? You're just a personality, in inverted commas, that's performing. So whether that's on the radio behind a microphone or on the TV in front of a camera, I think it's all good. I think people transferring from one medium to the other is a good thing.
And just wanted to play a clip from this as well. This is worth listening to. Look up Mumbrella Cast in Australia. It's a kind of marketing and media podcast. They've had our old friend Christian O'Connell on this week. The OC has been reflecting on his first year on air at Gold 104.3 in Melbourne.
At first, it was brutal. They were just annoyed there was a British person talking. That they didn't ask for and they didn't know who I was. And that's when I really started to get quite panicky, actually, like, because I brought my kids over here and their whole lives over here. My wife is on dad on the radio, getting on with people and connecting. And I'd done that for years. And then coming here and really, really feeling this massive disconnect and people going, go home. You know, people actually were texting me in saying, a pom. They go and give a pom. And I was, oh, maybe this was too much of a change for Australia. But they've grown. The number one thing I hear now from people listening to the show is, I hated you at first, but now I really love the show, which is really honest. I get it. And I wouldn't believe him if I said, I loved you from the moment you came on. I don't believe it. It was a seismic difference, a very bold experiment in a way that Duncan Campbell took and that we both made together, whether or not it would be too much, especially at breakfast radio. We're very selective about what we want to let into our lives in the morning. We're very vulnerable. We're tired. We're scratchy. We're irritable. So suddenly some voice, oh, God, it's a pommy. I can imagine we'll go and scan. And so fair play to the people who've given it a go, came back and were like, oh, actually, I'm enjoying the difference now. And that's, I guess, the only thing you'd really say about the show is it's adding to the difference on the dial in the morning in Melbourne.
And I've been enjoying some of Christian's stuff on social media as well. It's nice to see some of the funny bits he's up to on the air there. So
good that he's settling in after 12 months, isn't it? It's good.
Absolutely. And there's a new In Radio podcast out as well this week with Dom Chambers, all about community radio with Bro Radio, Sheppy FM, and chats with Sean Childerly from the Radio Academy and Paul Chandler as well at the Radio Festival earlier in the summer. Worth a listen. Lots of events coming up next week. We're going to be in London. If you're at the Digital Radio Summer Drinks reception, we will see you there. And we're waiting for details on the ARIAs as well. Normally happen in October. They have the last few years. And around this time in the summer, the nominations are usually open. They haven't opened for entries yet. But watch this space.
Hopefully we'll find out more about that very soon. I do like a trip to Leeds. Coming up on the podcast then, as Stuart mentioned, small-scale DAB and lots more besides.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. Right, next on the Radio Today programme, small-scale digital radio multiplexes. They sound exciting, don't they? And they are coming soon-ish in the grand scheme of things. After some successful trials, a government consultation last year, a call for expressions of interest, we are now moving ahead another step forward as Ofcom starts a consultation this week on how it's going to advertise and award some of these new multiplexes and the stations that will go on them. Well, let's talk to John Evington. You might know him as a former programmer at Signal, UTV, Original, and now part of the team at Niocast, which has been running the trial multiplex in Manchester. Also got an application in for community radio in Cheshire and works with radio stations around the UK to help with license applications, and is one of the founders of Viamux, a company that can help you get your small-scale multiplex on the air when you win a license. There's the commercial plug. Hello, John. Welcome. How was that intro?
Did we cover it? Hi. Yeah, what a great research team. Although you make me sound like a bit kind of Doctor Who character, constantly regenerating myself and coming back as something new. But well and truly focused.
600 years old you are now, is it? Something like that.
easy now. But no, we're well and truly focused on DAB and small scale DAB in particular.
So this consultation that started this week, there's obviously the link to all the documentation's on Radio Today, and we'll talk through it in a bit more detail. But This is Ofcom planning out what it's going to do next. We had a big consultation last year, as we said, from the government, but this is about licensing and how licensing is going to work for small scale.
Yes, new powers for Ofcom, but it's all good. It's all about modifying the 1996 Broadcasting Act and making it possible at long last for Ofcom to move forward, not just on licensing small-scale DAB, but also creating a new kind of licence for the community radio stations looking to broadcast on DAB, the CDSP licence. So, exciting times. Looks like we're in for scores of new multiplexes, a DAB lifeline for community and small commercial stations, hundreds of formats, new jobs, opportunities for sponsors and advertisers, great sound quality, amazing value for money. What's not to like about small-scale DAB?
Wow, you sold this like an advert. Well, I mean, there's been, that's all the gloss of it, I suppose. The negativity that there is a bit in the industry at the moment is about local radio. And if I had a pound for every tweet I'd seen or a comment on Facebook about the death of local radio, I'd probably be able to probably afford to buy Global off Ashley, to be honest. But small scale could actually solve some of these problems that people are saying they've got with local radio at the moment. It's a different type of local radio, but it is going to replace some of that local radio that might have been lost, although it's not a knee-jerk reaction. I saw some comments online, people saying, Ofcom are bringing this in, the government are doing this to kind of mitigate what they've lost in allowing local stations to go national. But you've been involved in this for 4 or 5 years now, and it's been going a lot longer than that in the background.
Yeah, and it's not really about replacing the old heritage ILRs. The world's moved on. It's about creating a new platform. And yeah, it's been talked about for a long time. It dates back as far as 2008, when Daniel Nathan down at Juice in Brighton suggested the idea to a group of radio stakeholders, only to be told that it was too unstable and would never work. Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? But Ofcom and the DTMS thankfully disagreed, and it led to a localised trial in 2013 in Brighton, which went well. And then, of course, the 12 trials across the UK, of which Manchester is one. We refer to it as the longest 9-month trial in history. But the big rollout that's now about to happen that you talked about earlier was announced last summer. Ofcom received more than 700 expressions of interest from prospective DAB operators and service providers. So, yeah, it's been a long journey so far. And I must just give credit where it's due to the teams at the DTMS, DRUK and Ofcom. They've done an amazing job getting us to where we are now. It can't have been easy coming up with a plan that brought so many disparate groups together. I'm thinking of the CMA and Radio Centre and others. So well done. Yeah, it's great that at long last we're at the dawn of it all happening.
Yeah, and these documents I've had a look through. It's like a big, long, 140-odd page document. And what they've done is they've mapped out, literally drawn little squiggly areas that they think a small-scale multiplex could be awarded for. And they're going to start awarding these hopefully next year. We could get, 20 stations on each of these? And if they award all 275... then, that's a lot of stations. I mean, some of these are going to be commercial stations and community stations that exist already. Some of them are going to be kind of quasi-national stations that are going on lots of different multiplexes. But still, a handful are going to be brand new services. So you're talking maybe 1,000 or more brand new local radio stations. This is massive.
Yes, a game changer. And I like the way you described a polygon as, what was it, a squiggly, squiggly line on a map. You were saying about 1,000 new stations. That's probably on the high side, but it's impossible to predict how it's all going to pan out. What's for certain, though, is that the cost of entry is going to be low enough to entice lots of new people into radio. And the creative opportunity is just massive. It'll be very simple to bring a new format to life, or, as you say, transfer an online service over to DAB. And dip your toe in the water, give it a test. If the format flies, there'll be so many ways of evolving that format from a single small-scale multiplex to multiple small-scale multiplexes, up to a larger local DAB platform, and ultimately take it national. Yeah, the sky's the limit. Anything is possible. And it's a hackneyed expression, but it's a great time to be in radio. It really is.
I mean, what kind of money are we talking about? So if I'm running an online station at the moment for my area, but I want to get onto a broadcast platform and small scale multiplex arrives in my borough, it's what, somewhere between £50 and £200 a month to be on it?
Well, it varies according to things like the population of the area. And I mean, while we're talking about costs, let's talk about the cost of setting things up, shall we? I mean, it's not my specialist subject, but what I can tell you is that every situation is going to be different according to the area, size, the terrain, the number of services on the multiplex. But I think at this stage, for budgetary purposes, a good figure to have in mind is somewhere between £15,000 and £25,000 for a proper system, a system that'll do the job you need it to do. And the equipment, obviously, is the biggest capital investment. Then you've got your ongoing costs, including things like rental for your transmitter site or sites, plus broadband, power, and, of course, technical support. At the start of all this, you mentioned Viamux, which is our sister company, the DAB solutions provider. And we're going to be offering a, here comes the other advert, finance option to spread the cost over a few years, making it even more affordable. So get a handful of services on your multiplex, and who knows, it could be cost neutral or even a source of income for your radio station.
Yeah, and I think the encouragement from Ofcom is that in many of these areas, community radio stations that are operating will be one of the applicants for the multiplex. So it'll be an income stream, I guess, for the community radio station to run a multiplex and then charge other stations to go on their multiplex. And they've obviously got exactly the infrastructure
that.
Already there.
Exactly that, yeah. So it could well be that you set a multiplex up, run it on finance over a period of a few years, and you make money from the outset.
And in terms of stations, your multiplex that you've been running as a trial in Manchester, I think is all at the current stage DAB Plus, which Ofcom have said all of these new small-scale multiplexes are going to be DAB Plus only. And that, of course, means you get a stereo station and you can cram lots of stations into the multiplex, more than we've had on the traditional multiplexes.
Yeah, I mean, we really welcomed this in the Ofcom announcement, and it came as a something of a surprise, because DAB Plus wasn't even mentioned in the DCMS consultation. So in our response, we asked the question why. DAB Plus is spreading like wildfire across Europe, Australasia, the Far East, and there's no question it's going to become the standard format here. Interesting to see just recently Global launching Gold and Heart Dance in DAB Plus. Magic Chilled from Bauer, I think, is in DAB Plus. It's only a matter of time before the rest follow. As you say, it's a far more efficient system than the original DAB. It can deliver better quality at lower bit rates. We're running most of our services at 48K in stereo, and they sound amazing. They reckon that 48 in DAB Plus stereo sounds broadly the same as traditional DAB at 128 in joint stereo. So far more efficient. There will be disappointed people who've got old radios that can't receive DAB+, but this is all about the future. 93% of new cars are now fitted with DAB as standard. My guess, and you can't prove or disprove this, is that between 60 and 70% of radios out there are now DAB compliant. And when we upgraded our services to DAB+, we had a handful of inquiries, not even complaints, just inquiries. What's happened to the station I was listening to? I can't hear it anymore. There's no question, DAB Plus is the future.
For those people listening and thinking, he's starting me on an idea there. I could apply for one of these multiplexes. I could be running a multiplex, never mind running a radio station. You've obviously been doing it for 4 years. What's the experience been like? You know, how straightforward was it to run the multiplex, having never done it before?
Well, we started out with 6 services and quickly took it up to 20. You're asking about the experience. For me as a programmer, having spent 312 years in programming, it was, and actually having started out in Manchester in this business, it's been wonderful helping to introduce new formats into that city. One of the things we stressed right at the outset, and I think this is something for others to follow, is the determination to complement rather than compete with existing stations. And I think we've done that well. You know, the services on our multiplex are out there alongside Hits Radio, Capital Heart, Smooth, Gold and the rest. And, well, what have we got on there? Who would have thought there'd be a radio station just for tradespeople, Fixed Radio, or a station that celebrates the music of the great singers who've passed away, Penke's Wonderful Radio Dead? We've got stations for ethnic and lifestyle groups, fans of different music types. We've got, we've enabled the commercial and community stations left behind on FM to migrate to DAB. So I often pull up in a car park in Manchester and just sit in the car getting strange looks from people, but tuning up and down on DAB, listening to the range of different formats out there, just on the Naocast multiplex, and it just never fails to amaze me. And yeah, it's great that this new small-scale DAB ecosystem is set to go nationwide. And yeah, bring it on.
We've all sat in car parks getting funny looks while we listen to the radio. Don't worry about that.
I've heard the stories.
So if I'm thinking, right, small scale is this next big thing, I want to run a station, I want to run a multiplex, what should I be doing now? Because this is still going to be kind of 6-9 months away before they start advertising these licenses. But I suppose now is the time to start thinking about it.
Yeah, and you say run a station, stroke run a multiplex. They're two very different things, obviously, but it's the same message for both right at this moment in time. And number one, read the Ofcom document. You said it was 170 pages. It's only 102. Some nice light reading. And if you've got any comments or suggestions or questions, well, send your response to Ofcom using the form provided. But moving on to running a multiplex, I've got a five-point plan for anyone interested in moving into multiplex operation. Number one, don't panic. As you said, plenty of time for that later. No need to panic yet. Number two, identify any prospective partners or even competitors who you could maybe bring in as potential partners for your group. Number three, nothing wrong with seeking advice and help. There's plenty of expert advice out there for those people who can hold your hand through the process, ViaMux being one. You can find others on online and on social media. Number four, before applying, you need to have arranged coverage plots and put a business plan together and secured all your service providers. But that's a long way off from now. And finally, make sure you've got the necessary funding in place to demonstrate that your service is viable and sustainable.
Wow, you've got it covered. I'm going to have to follow your plan to the letter if I want to run one of these multiplexes. We know from Ofcom and what they're proposing that they're going to do it in batches. So it won't be all 275 areas in the country all coming up for grabs at once. They're going to start with probably the largely populated areas and the areas where they've been running trials. So you getting your Manchester application in is probably going to be one of the first things you do before you start helping other people in new areas, I guess.
Yeah, right now, you're absolutely right. We're fully focused on Naocast in Manchester. That has to take priority at this important time.
Well, I think we should be excited about it, shouldn't we? I mean, you're very enthusiastic about it. And there is a lot to be kind of worried about in the radio industry for a lot of people at the moment who are kind of going through change with commercial radio changes. But this is an exciting time. It's a kind of, it feels like we're on the edge of something that's going to explode in another year's time.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned 1,000 new services. I think there'll be a lot. An awful lot. And what it does is it opens up the creative prism and everyone's got a format in their head. This will make it affordable to develop that format, give it a trial on a small scale DAB, see how it goes. And I think of John Ryan, who created the 80s station, Max 80s, which is an 80s music station with a bit of a twist. It's got great creative on there and all sorts of things that differentiate it from other stations doing similar things. And I know John is frustrated that the trial's been going on now for an awfully long time. He wants to move it to the next stage. And this will allow John and dozens, hundreds of other people like him do the same with their dream formats. So all good.
And I suppose the other thing that you touched on as well was community stations getting on to the same level playing field platform as the big boys. So in Manchester, you know, as you say, you've got Capital and Heart and Hits Radio, but then you've got now, you know, next to them in name, some of the community services that are on your multiplex. And I guess those community operators are really delighted to get that opportunity, aren't they, when they can't afford to get on the big Manchester multiplex and it's full anyway.
Well, we reached out to all the community stations in Manchester before we launched and we got a mixed response, in fairness, but that was a long time ago now. And of course, the new dimension that's coming in now are these CDSP licenses. At least three slots on each small-scale DAB multiplex will be reserved for CDSP stations. And that's got to be a good thing. We're really comfortable with that in Manchester. And let's not forget that one of the main driving forces behind all this in the first place was the concern that community radio would be left out of DAB. So, yeah, we spoke to all the community stations. We now have four of them on board. And there's a bit of a decision, I suppose, for community stations to make now. Do you go for a CDSP licence, which gives you access to the reserved space, or apply for a DSP, a standard DSP, which doesn't. But I guess if you are an existing K community station and you want to be sure of a digital future, you'd probably opt for a CDSP, which gives you access to that reserved space.
Right. Well, it's lovely to catch up with you, John. And thank you for all your tips and advice. People can find you online, of course, if they search for Niocast and Viomux, they'll be able to find you. The consultation closes on the 4th of October. As John was saying, make sure you have your say. We've put a link on radiotoday.co.uk. There's also a link in the programme notes for this podcast as well. And we're all very excited now about it, aren't we? It's going to be an exciting few years.
We hope so. Great to talk to you, Stu.
That's John Evington from Niocast and Viomux. Look them up online. David Lloyd and James Cridland are both still to come. First, a quick word about CleanFeed. If you haven't had a try yet, make this summer the time when you give it a go. If you've got a bit of downtime in your station, it's a great way to connect with people in remote locations in great quality, just using your browser on the internet. And you can even record within it as well. If you may be doing an OB or an interview with somebody for your show, recording an interview for a podcast, co-hosting your program from somewhere different to usual, CleanFeed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll only take you 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording. You can find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. Johannesburg in South Africa is a place like no other to hold a radio conference, and I was privileged to be at Radio Days Africa recently on their 10th anniversary. Radio is an important part of life in Africa generally. Radio reaches people who can't read or write and plays the part of an educator in many parts of Africa. Steve Martin from the BBC talked about radio in Africa in 2013 at Next Radio, and he gave a good overview in how progressive African radio stations are, as well as how they think about radio in a different way to many of us. You can find the video at the Next Radio website at next.radio. But radio in Africa is also partially radio stations like 94.7 in Johannesburg, who sound as polished as the big top 40 stations you'd hear anywhere. However, it was Berard Dupré from the Seychelles Broadcasting Company that got me thinking a little. He began by explaining where the Seychelles were, which was good because I didn't know. They're on the east coast of Africa, in case you're wondering. And he spoke about the stations that SBC run. One of the things Berard showed was the radio station's app. Now, obviously, you can listen to the radio station on it, but you can also send a voice message to the station in high-quality audio. The station uses a product called Fabric, made in South Africa, which acts as a kind of private WhatsApp for the station, who are then able to edit and broadcast the messages. It's a simple and straightforward way to get more voices on the air. And they're not alone, because Radio X in the UK is using a rather less private WhatsApp. Well, they're using WhatsApp to get messages into the studio for Chris Moyles. And Chris Moyles and Dom appear to be having great fun with it, even if most of the callers just want to say the words willy and bum.
Radio X. Right, let's do some more WhatsApp messages then.
I said willy. Willy, 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 bum.
Three, four.
Willy, willy, bum. Willy bum bum willy bum. Willy bum bum willy bum. Willy bum. Oh, I can't be bothered.
That's very good.
That's lovely, whoever you are. That's the thing, they're all so anonymous, aren't they? Because we just get these really messages from people.
I like the end of that.
The name's Bum. A Willy Bum.
There you up.
Wow, Sean Connery in full
Thank
effect.
You very much, Willy.
For radio stations everywhere, services like this make it really easy to remain real and relevant to your audience. For SBC, who run radio stations that broadcast to over 100 different islands off the coast of East Africa, it's a great way to hear directly from your audience. For Radio X, it's a very good way to hear them swear at you. Getting proper, decent audience audio on the air has never been easier. So if you don't have this function in your radio app, well, what's stopping you? You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now, on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
Radio Moments.
21 years ago this week, DAB manufacturers attended a launch at Broadcasting House. They displayed their latest products and discussed pricing and availability with retailers and the press. In its very early days, DAB, of course, was something rather novel, but Alan Freeman was on hand to explain.
And does your new digital radio offer you CD quality sound? Of course it does. Couldn't get tickets for the big match or the gig of the year? Then don't you worry. Just stay at home and listen in on your DAB radio. The sound quality is so good, it feels like you're part of a crowd. In the mosh pit at Pearl Jam or the main stand at Anfield. All right?
All right. And what about the future?
By the end of 1997, 100 million people in Europe will be able to receive the new digital radio transmissions. Spring 1998 will see coverage of 60% of the UK population. One block of frequencies in the UK has already been allocated to the BBC to broadcast nationally. The remaining licences will be advertised in spring 1998. It's expected that the first commercial broadcasters will be ready to broadcast digitally using the national block of frequencies at the end of 1998.
Alan Freeman. By the way, Fluff would have been 92 years old this week, which is probably an excuse to hear that wonderful thing with Harry Enfield's Smashy and Nicey.
At 12, wake up, it's time for your nap. At 1, straight in for lunch with salt and pepper. After lunch, we all love them, we all know them. They're round, they're blue, they're Valium, and I'm on 40 a day, and what's more...
What a star to do that. Fluff, who actually spent his later years at Brinsworth House in Twickenham, the Royal Variety care home where so many great names gather for their final years. He died 13 years ago, of course. Over the last few weeks, we've had more than our fair share of on-air farewells. I think the most touching was Michelle Jordan's from Heart.
And it's just been the best. And I don't want it to be over, but it is. So I'm just going to play you this song because it means everything to me. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
But it was this week, 7 years ago, that there was a surprise at Radio 1 as Chris Moyles announced his imminent departure.
And for those people who are thinking, Jesus, it's just a radio show, stop banging on about it, you don't get it. And for everyone else who does get it, you know, it's all about me. I don't do things by halves. My tongue is always buried deep in my cheek. So, thank you for listening. The show may now continue. In fact, let's get back to what this show is all about.
Obviously, as controller, I've got to look at trying to lower the average age. And this is part of that bigger strategy, if you like. Chris and I had a conversation about the breakfast show, and Chris and I decided what we should do, and that's how we came to the announcement this morning.
Radio 1 controller Ben Cooper on the announcement of Chris Moyles' farewell this week in 2012. The BBC likes to reorganise itself now and again, but this week, 50 years ago, one of the most significant plans was published. It was called Broadcasting in the 70s. As a result, the stations we know today were more tightly defined and programmes were juggled around to put them in the homes we'd recognise today.
Radio's new shape in the 70s. If the BBC's plans go through after public discussion, the four national networks will be still more distinct. Radio 1, strictly pop. Radio 2, carrying light music from Sinatra to Lehar. Radio 3, perhaps only on VHF, with more classical music, and Radio 4 with mostly talk. And there are the prospects of an educational channel. This would need government help. And 40 local stations that could reach 9 out of 10 people in England.
So more BBC locals on the way. Frank Gillard was asked about that expansion in local radio.
I don't think we've made a claim that there's a big demand for local radio. I don't see how you can expect a big demand for something of which most people in this country have no concept and no experience. But it's our business as professional broadcasters, and has been all the way down the ages, to spot the ways in which our service can develop and become of improved value to the listener.
Happy 50th anniversary to Broadcasting in the 70s. A thoroughly sensible strategic review at the time, though very controversial. 1980 now, and it's a commercial radio launch in Peterborough.
Harrowwood Radio.
Good
Good morning. You're listening to Harrywood Radio, broadcasting on 225 metres in the medium wave. That's 1332 kilohertz and 95.7 VHF in stereo. In a moment, the news at 6, followed by Daybreak with myself, Dave Bowen, and Jonathan Kramer.
Britain's 22nd independent radio station has just come on the air. It's Harrywood Radio, based in Peterborough in Cambridgeshire. Harrywood is the first news-based station outside London, and it'll give heavy emphasis to news and information programmes. Independent radio news, it's 3 minutes past 6.
It's the first one on Harrywood, the first one on Daybreak, too, the Bellamy Brothers, and Let Your Love Flow. It's day one, of course, an exciting time. We've got Anglia Television in the studios with us this morning once again, and they're recording a film for this evening. You'll be able to see us as well as hear us today as well.
Good morning, viewers.
Something horrific, yes. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning for the first time, Dave, yes. We've, in fact, been doing this programme in the studio for some days now, haven't we? It seems like we're old hands at this, because off stage, so to speak, we've been practicing. It's not cheating.
Dry runs, they call it, which brings into mind all sorts of connotations.
That's right, we haven't had a drink for days.
That chemistry is building, isn't it? Harrywood Radio, launching in Peterborough this week, 39 years ago. It's now Heart. Teddy Wakelam died this week in 1963. He'd been the UK's first ever sports commentator. He'd played rugby for Harlequin FC and became its captain as well. His first commentary was rugby in 1927.
Well, the first half has been about as exciting as anyone could wish for. Oh, I can't call that. They're off again. They're changing over. And it's Wales' kick this time. Pearl's taking it. He's kicking to the left. Wales defending the south end now.
Square seven.
There he goes. A long one. Sellers caught it. He's kicked back and found
touch. Teddy Wakelam was sitting inside a box that they'd built for him specially. It had a big glass window across the front. Sitting in front of Teddy Wakelam was a blind man, employed to be the assessor of whether the commentary was working. Sitting alongside Teddy Wakelam was a man who had in front of him a map of the rugby pitch, divided into 8 squares. So the idea being you at home could open up your Radio Times and see the squares of the match field actually in front of you. But in radio, you're also creating a narrative. You're telling the story of the match, as well as just saying where the ball is. Peter Jones helped me understand this. He said, in a football match, he said, basically, people don't really care where the ball is that much, if it's somewhere in the middle of the park between the two penalty areas. But when the ball is in either of the penalties, they need to know exactly where the ball is.
Time served OB man Peter Griffiths from the BBC, reflecting on the approach of Teddy Wakelam, who died this week 56 years ago. And I gather the week before his first on-air commentary, he went to commentate on a schools match by way of practice. What a great simple lesson in preparation. So with the birth of Melody Radio, now Magic London, 29 years ago.
This is Melody FM on 105.4, the time exactly 1 o'clock.
The BBC chart moving to its new Friday spot 4 years ago.
This is BBC Radio 1 and welcome to the exciting new sound of the official chart with Greg James for the first time ever on a Friday.
The final BBC broadcast from Bush House 7 years ago.
And now, after more than 70 years broadcasting to the world from Bush House in central London, this BBC News Bulletin is the last to come from our Bush House studios.
And the first edition of Radio Newsreel, then heard on the BBC Overseas Service 79 years ago.
This is Ivor Jones calling Radio Newsreel from Berlin.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thanks also to James Cridland and Roy Martin, and our guest this week, John Evington from Niocast and Viamux, talking about small-scale DAB. Next time on the Radio Today programme, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be with Fleur, Greg and James from the new Hits Radio Breakfast. Join me for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.